Before Lin-Manuel Miranda created the mega-hit Broadway musical Hamilton, he made a splash with In the Heights.
Lights up on Washington Heights, up at the break of day, I wake up and I got this little punk I gotta chase away.
In the Heights was a Latin pop and salsa-infused love letter to Washington Heights, the predominantly Latinx New York City neighborhood where Lin-Manuel Miranda grew up. This week, more than a decade after its Broadway premiere, In the Heights is hitting the movie theaters.
In the Heights, I hang my flag upon display.
It is a classic story about the comfort of the familiar, home, friends, neighborhood, versus the pull of what might or might not be new and better. Yet it has a fresh, up-to-the-minute feel, and after a year when so many of us have been stuck inside, it's a film that feels like a magical summer outing, with enormous dance scenes in the middle of the street, on playgrounds, amid fire hydrant sprinklers, even in a giant public pool, in the middle of a heat wave, of course. Director John M. Chu, he of Crazy Rich Asians fame, was tasked with taking the Broadway hit from stage to screen, and he is with us now to tell us more about it. John M. Chu, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I don't know if other people are going to receive it the way I did, because I'm born and raised in New York, but because of the pandemic, I haven't been able to go home in more than a year. And it felt like being home. It felt like all my relatives and friends in a movie, with, of course, better singers and dancers, you know, of course. And speaking of the neighborhood, I mean, the film premiered in Washington Heights this week as part of the Tribeca Festival, and you premiered it for the dancers. How did all that feel? How did it go? What was the reaction?
It was amazing. I mean, I forget how much it feels to be back in New York, as I've also been gone for a bit, but be back in Washington Heights, where the neighborhood all turned out. They were all in the streets, yelling at us, and all the good ways, and to have even photographers yell at us to take pictures, to promote a movie, and then to be in the Palace Theater. To be there and hear the movie echo through those walls and people cheer and laugh and cry and get up and dance in the middle of it. It was everything I hoped for what going back to the movies would feel like.
You know, as I said earlier, I hope people will know you from one of your previous films, Crazy Rich Asians. On the surface, this is different. I mean, Crazy Rich Asians was about crazy rich people. I mean, the clothes were incredible. The houses were incredible. I mean, here you're talking about, you know, cramped, sweaty apartments, people working blue collar jobs, people who are often invisible to other people. I mean, let's face it. So I'm wondering, first of all, what attracted you to this project? And is there anything that feels similar to that other project?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Crazy Rich Asians, even though the title is Crazy Rich Asians and we're in the world of Crazy Rich Asians, the reality was it was not about any of the worth of those things. It was about an Asian American going to Asia for the first time and being sucked into those things. And it was actually about self-worth and who are you and what are the different parts of you and what is that? Does that have value? Will you ever be enough? And in a way, coming here, it is very different. However, the idea that this is where American stories start in this neighborhood, and that I grew up, even in Northern California, growing up in a Chinese restaurant, I saw how hard my parents worked in that kitchen and then had to go onto the floor and host people and serve them. And I know what it feels like to be raised not just by your mom and dad, but by your aunties and your uncles. And to have my abuela Claudia, which was my boo-boo, who taught me how to, you know, fold wontons. And when I saw the Broadway show, it just spoke to me on such deep levels of the weight of your family stories and what you need to do with them in your life. And that everyone has different ways to maneuver and use them. But for me in particular, that I didn't know how to express that. And Lin and Kiara have an amazing ability to be as specific as possible, but tell the story in a way that I felt heard. And so I knew that this story already had that power.
Was it an instant yes for you, signing on to this?
Oh, for sure. The problem was I needed a reason for them to pick me.
Okay.
And I sat down with Lin in New York, I'll never forget, because he was in his Hamilton hair because he was about to go do a performance of Hamilton. So it's in between shows. And we connected. We connected on what it feels like to dream. And we both had big dreams growing up in our little bedrooms of what we could be, of a dream that I think a lot of people didn't think we ever could make that. And this show is about dreams. And that's where we really connected, and we took it from there.
So a couple questions about that. I want to mention, you've mentioned Lin-Manuel Miranda, of course, and Chiara Alegria Hudis, who co-wrote the original Broadway musical. I just want to ask a little bit more about what the process was like. Were there certain things from the play you knew you wanted to keep, or were there certain things that you knew you didn't want to keep, mentioning that the play originally debuted on Broadway in 2008? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we had a full-on list, but we had a process, and that was the best. Like, Lin and Chiara created a really safe space for me to come in. Of course, they know all the details. I still had a lot to learn. And the way to direct this movie was to listen, and try to interpret as much as I could, connect some dots. But when we started getting into it, and Chiara is the key in a lot of this, because I had to work with her. She's his neighbors. They're very close friends, and he trusts her so much. We basically went to Lin and we're like, you need to give us a little bit of space to try some things that might be crazy. We're going to take, you know, all the music out, and each song has to earn its place back. It doesn't mean the song is gone. It just means it's in this holding pattern. And in the end, if we need to put it in, then we need to find a reason, or we need to accept that we're just putting it in just to put it in. But hang with us for a second. And he gave us that space. And then I told them too, like, I don't know everything. Of course, I'm not Latino and I'm not from here. So I have to have permission to ask you a lot of stupid questions. And I give you permission to stop me at any moment during this process and say, hey, this table is set wrong, or that drapery is wrong. And I, as the director, who probably has one of the only pieces of power to stop production, will make room for those things. And we need to give room to the cast for those things.
You know, speaking of this, I mean, Crazy Rich Asians was the highest grossing romantic comedy in a decade. And the cast, is, as I recall, was the first all-Asian ensemble in a studio film in what, like decades, what, something like 25 years? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you go into that with the goal of breaking the barrier? And what about this movie? It's my understanding that this film languished a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been years since the Broadway debut, and it languished a bit. I mean, some of it's like Hollywood contracts and drama and business drama and personnel drama that we don't need to go into. But it's also my understanding that some of it was the powers that be wanted famous people, like they wanted some bankable Latinx stars. You're making stars. So I was wondering, did you go into this with this idea of creating new stars? Or just changing things, or changing the dynamics of how people think about something like this?
Yeah, I signed on to this actually before Crazy Rich Asians. I was a point in my career where I had learned all the things of how to make a movie, and it was for the first time I felt confident that I know how to make a movie. I know how to make a movie with a Hollywood studio, and that I know how to make the money. And then I was like, but what am I? Is that what I am? And I started going back to, if you're a storyteller, what are you actually saying? And I realized I hadn't been telling the stories that scared me the most, that were the most personal, the things that helped me, that's going to help me get through my life. And so I started to explore what those things were. And my cultural identity crisis was one of those things, where I came from, the uniqueness of growing up in an immigrant community, of growing up with those stories on your shoulders. How does that feel? And I think the internet helped know that there were others like me out there. So it gave me that also an extra confidence that they're waiting for someone to tell these stories. And you're right here, and you have the power to, and you could do it tomorrow. You don't have to raise money to do a thing, but like, you could do it. And it just happened. Like, I don't know if In the Heights ultimately has resonance in the end. I know that we made a really joyful, fun movie. And I just hope and I know that when you see it, you can't unsee it. And so I hope enough people get to experience it that they'll want to see more. Not just one movie, only 20 movies like this.
The That was John M. Chu, director of the movie musical In the Heights, which is in theaters and streaming on HBO Max now. John M. Chu, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for this film and happy summer. What else can I say?
Let's go. Welcome back to the movies.